Welcome to the Home Study Course sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute at homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled Ethical Dilemmas in the Recall of Trauma. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Catherine Appleton, and I'll be the narrator of this 2-CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of the course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with ethics and trauma recall. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content for your own purposes. Or, if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate, give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable, thus we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer book are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer book prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint, after you write down the answer to a question in your answer book, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind there is nothing trick or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the plane of this CD. For the purposes of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapist or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your setting. When you hear the word therapist, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapist cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is most meaningful to you in your work setting. As you are aware, the title of this course is Ethical Dilemmas in the Recall of Trauma. Recall for me brings to mind the word confibulation. Confibulation is defined as the act of making up for gaps in memory by fabricating stories or details. This course will examine ethical issues regarding confibulation in the areas of countertransference, hypnosis and ethical controversies, FC and autistic child trauma, dream interpretation and sleep paralysis, vet flashback, play therapy and role-playing ethics. So, let's get started. Therapists that specialize in trauma clients tend to be exposed to some of the most emotionally exhausting sessions. Do you agree? Many times, these therapists are people who have experienced a type of trauma themselves. While this can give a therapist insight into a client's mindset, it can also lead to serious consequences. Countertransference has been described as an emotional reaction to a client by a therapist. Also, it could be thought of as a distortion of judgment on the part of the therapist due to the therapist's life experience or the process of seeing one's self in the client or over-identifying with the client or meeting the therapist's needs through the client. On this track, we will examine the ethical risk of countertransference and an effective way to avoid it through supervision. Not only does countertransference refer to the therapist reaction, but also how the client's stress is more apt to cause a therapist to countertransfer. This more contemporary view of countertransference includes all of the emotional reactions of the therapist towards the client. Let me repeat that. This more contemporary view of countertransference includes all of the emotional reactions of the therapist towards the client, irrespective of the source. Also affecting a tendency to countertransference is the therapist's absorption of the trauma expressed by the client. If a trauma therapist who has had their own trauma experience has worked extensively for years with trauma victims, eventually the therapist will encounter a client whose situation closely resembles their own. Do you agree? When this encountering of the closely resembling situation occurs, there is an ethical dilemma of overgeneralizing the trauma worker's or therapist's experience and methods of coping to the client and over-promoting these methods. Here are three examples related to number one, unconscious assumptions, number two, prescribing methods, and number three, APA codes of ethics. Let's look first of all at unconscious assumptions. A crime-related traumatization may be very different from the experience of the trauma worker, yet the therapist may unconsciously assume they are significantly similar and not listen carefully. Two, also there is a risk of prescribing methods. They may have worked for the trauma worker, but not produce the same effect for the client. In addition to unconscious assumptions and prescribing methods, number three, the APA Code of Ethics states that psychologists refrain from undertaking an activity when they know or should know their personal problems are likely to lead to harm. They have an obligation to be alert to signs of and to obtain assistance for their personal problems at an early stage in order to prevent significantly impaired performance. If you believe that a client's trauma is too similar to your own experience and this might impair your judgment, what should you do? Go to another colleague? Refuse to treat the client? Recommend the client to another therapist? A recent study suggests that there are five qualities in a therapist that best manage the risk of countertransference. These five qualities are anxiety management, conceptualizing skills, empathetic ability, self-insight, and self-integration. Of these five, therapists rate self-insight and self-integration the most profitable in resisting the risk of countertransference. Think about these qualities for a minute. Are there any specific areas that you know that you need to improve? Let me repeat what they are. Anxiety management, conceptualization skills, empathetic ability, self-insight, and self-integration. One way to avoid countertransference is through supervision by another colleague. Supervision can ease the effects of countertransference by assisting the supervised therapist in identifying painful countertransference dynamics and recognizing traumatic reenactments. Supervision, which respects both the self of the therapist and the therapist's needs to identify and express the powerful emotion extracted by this work, can help to create an environment in which the therapist can feel safe with the strong effects he or she is asked to hold in his or her clinical work. The basic components of social support, a main factor of supervision, include number one, emotional support, two, information, three, social companionship, and four, instrumental support. The peer group of a therapist, as you know, provides these components, particularly during periods in which a stressful client is involved. Let's look at some ways professional peers benefit the therapist. 1. Professional peers can be supportive by providing resources. Number 2. Professional peers can help the traumatized therapist clarify their insights by listening carefully. 3. Professional peers provide support by listening to the therapist who has been traumatized or is going through countertransference and by correcting distortions in the therapist's assumptions. Number 4. The perspective that other therapists can offer will often constitute a reframing of the trauma. Number 5. Professional peers provide support by being empathetically in tune to the traumatized therapist. I'm sure by hearing these 5 methods that professional peers can provide support, you are not hearing anything new at all. But do you need to replay this track to review these and actually take action on an idea found in this track related to countertransference and your trauma client? On this track, we discuss the ethical risk of countertransference and an effective way to avoid it through supervision related to, number 1, unconscious assumptions, 2, inappropriate prescribing methods, and 3, APA codes of ethics. On the next track, we will discuss 4 ethically questionable results of hypnosis. Number 1, created memories, 2, distortion of existing memories, 3, incorporating clues from leading therapist questions, and 4, incorporating therapist beliefs. We will also examine the path that the client might take to resolve their supposed sexual abuse. Question 1. According to a recent study, what are the 5 qualities in a therapist that best serve to manage the risk of countertransference?